All set to start.
Okay, great. Thanks, Daryl.
Okay.
So, good morning, everybody. Brian?
Yes.
Did you need to make any opening comments, or do you want me to just start right in?
Well, I can just, I'll just announce this is the Besby State Rehabilitation Council meeting for September 23rd, 2020. Okay, Chairman, take over.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brian. So good morning, everybody, and thank you all for being on the call this morning. I know everybody's super busy and trying to deal with the COVID chaos happening around us. So thank you for being on the call. I think we're going to start with introductions and go around the horn. So if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourselves one at a time, that would be great. So whoever wants to start, feel free to jump in.
I will do it. My name is Anita Mendoza. I'm an assistant vocational rehab counselor for Besby. I work with in the southwestern part of Connecticut and the greater Danbury area.
Great, thank you. Next person.
Hi, my name is Jay Brown. I'm the representative of the Department of Education, Girls Special Education.
Great, thanks, Jay. Next.
Good morning. I'm Patricia Jones, and I'm a member.
Good morning. Next person.
Good morning. This is Deb Reed from the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut.
Hey, Deb. Thanks for being here. Next person.
Good morning. This is Dawn Russell, Besby client.
Dawn, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Next.
John Carnival.
Good morning, everybody.
John, can you go again if you don't mind?
Yeah, John Carnival, SRC member.
Great, thanks, John. Next.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Diana Cohen. I'm professor at Central Connecticut State University and researcher for the Center for Public Policy and Social Research.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for being on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next person.
Good morning. This is Scott Becker from Chris Radio.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for being here.
Certainly.
Next.
Gary Allen, representing the State Independent Living Council.
Great. Thank you, Gary.
Trustee member? Yep.
Thank you. Next person.
Kendra Valenti from the Hartford.
Hey, Kendra.
Good morning.
Next person.
Good morning, this is Jennifer Jenkins from Disability Rights Connecticut, representing the Client Assistance Program.
Hi, Jennifer, thank you. Next person.
Good morning, this is John McNichol. I'm a Besby client and a member.
Hey, John, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Next person. Is there anybody
you
know?
Jonathan Alberto, vocational counselor, adult services down in the Bridgeport region.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan.
Morning, Brian Sigmund, Best State Director.
Thanks, Brian. Anybody that did not get the chance to introduce themselves yet?
Yeah, good morning. This is Daryl, Besby VR staff. I'll be recording the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Daryl.
You bet.
Somebody just jumped on. If you just jumped on, would you mind introducing yourself?
Brandy from the BEP program.
Good morning. Anyone else that has not had the chance to introduce themselves yet? Nope. Okay, I think that's everybody. Do we have 14 voting members, Brian?
You only needed 8 voting members for quorum. I counted 10 voting members. You have a quorum.
Okay, great, great. Thank you. So, like last time, guys, we have to deal with the challenges of the teleconference, not being able to be with each other in person. So I would just ask, before you make a comment, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself so that everybody knows who's doing the talking, and that would be great. So we're going to jump right into the public comment section. And if there's anyone on the phone from the general public that is interested in commenting on the personal adjustment training topic, I'm going to ask that you hold your comments for now We do have a specific agenda item later on in the meeting to deal with that particular topic. So at this point, I would open up the floor to any members of the public who would like to comment on something other than the personal adjustment training topic. So is there anyone from the general public on the phone who would like to make a comment? Okay, going once, I'll just ask one more time. Is there anyone on the phone from the general public that would like to comment on something other than the personal adjustment training topic? Okay, I am not hearing any, so we will close this portion of the agenda, not hearing any public comments. And we will jump into the next agenda item, which is old business. I know that Brian had sent out the minutes from the June 24th meeting, so I'm hoping that everyone had the chance to take a look and review those minutes. And if you have, then I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
This is John McNichol. I would like to make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Thanks, John. Is there a second?
This is Dawn Russell. I'd like to second the motion.
Great. Thank you, Dawn. Any opposed? I'm sorry. All those in favor of approving the minutes from the June 24th meeting? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any discussion? Okay, thank you. It looks like the ayes have it, so that motion carries and we approve and adopt the minutes from the June 24th meeting. Thank you, everybody. So we'll move into the next agenda item, which is the work group reports. And that starts with the membership committee, and obviously Nate Barnes had been our leader on that particular committee, but Nate's term has ended, so I think Brian's going to be giving us that update here this morning.
That's correct. We have not had any new appointments since our last meeting. We do have some appointments that are pending that have applications over with the governor's office. We have an individual's application under review to replace DFAM and Gleddy. We have one application, the governor's office under replace Allen Gunsberg. And we just most recently have identified an individual who can replace Pat Melfi. Pat had been our representative from the Native American Vocational Rehabilitation Program in the state of Connecticut. And we've reached out to the new director, who has provided a resume, and that is now with the governor's office for review. We still are in need of one employer to replace Lori Bartolucci, and we also need someone from the Statewide Workforce Investment Board to replace Kathy Marioni. I hear that Jennifer's on the phone, so that official appointment needs to occur so that she can officially replace Linda Mizzi. And there is one other individual who has indicated an interest and submitted a resume to replace Nathaniel Barnes. So that is pretty where we're at with the SRC membership.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brian. And if I could just add to that, I think traditionally, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think traditionally and we'll be electing a new slate of officers a little bit further along in the meeting in just a couple of minutes. But I think traditionally the person who is elected the secretary more often than not ends up taking the leadership role on the membership committee. Is that correct, Brian?
That is historically the way it has always turned out, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So we will keep that in mind when we get to the section where we elect the new slate of officers for this coming year. So thanks for that update, Brian. The second work group report would be from Scott Becker on finance. Scott?
Hi, good morning, everyone. We only have one new item since the last meeting we had, and that was for the comprehensive needs assessment. in the amount of $17,833.37. So total committed funds since October of 2019 comes out to $71,693.93. That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Scott. The next work group report would be from, let me just back up for a minute. Any questions? Does anybody have any questions for Scott at all or Brian around the finance report, or is everybody okay with that? Okay. All right. Thanks again, Scott. Moving along to the customer satisfaction work group. Brian, I know we've got Diana Cohen on the phone from CCSU. Brian, did you want to make any comments on this before we turn it over to Diana?
The only comment I would make is I'm really pleased that Diana is on the phone so that she can let everyone know how things have been going with the new format. Just to remind the members, this past year we changed over to a quarterly format for asking the survey questions with the hope that it would be more timely for clients when they got their telephone call much sooner for their case enacted. Maybe services would be more fresh in their mind, with the hope that it would then enhance the number of individuals that were willing to participate in the survey. Then COVID-19 hit, and I think that there's probably been some impact as a result of that. So I'm just going to turn it over to Diana, and she can tell us what they've been experiencing with the new fiscal year that started in, they run that off of a year that's the state fiscal year, so the first calls they would have started making would have been last October or November. So, Diana, by all means, take it away from here.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity for me to come and speak to you today. What we're seeing is we're seeing a response rate that is very similar to last year. Even though BSB has had less clients that have recorded a employment outcome, we have valued every single person on that list and made numerous attempts, upwards of 8-9 phone calls per person. But we are seeing about a similar response rate, and we have begun to run some of our preliminary analysis. It's really hard to say thus far, I think, in light of COVID, exactly how beneficial the quarterly calling has been. That's in part because we experienced a little bit of a gap on our side. Our university closed very abruptly, like you may have seen. That literally we went from everyone on campus to there was an inkling that someone had come in contact with someone who was positive, and we all were sent home. And that was the end of our on-ground semester. So we at CPPSR had to very quickly figure out how to work with that, and we ultimately relied on a technology called Jabber, which allows us to make phone calls from our university number through our desktops. We thought that would be valuable because we wanted on caller ID for the university phone numbers to show up, which actually would show as State of Connecticut as opposed to some random call. But we still found that even during the COVID time, I thought, you know, people would be home a little bit more. We still found that people were screening their calls, not answering. So we have thus far, compared to last year, just about a 1% drop in participation. It's hard to know, you know, had COVID not occurred, would we have seen more benefit from the quarterly calling? In general, we're finding results that are pretty similar to last year as well through our preliminary analysis. I know Brian, you always like to know one of the final questions is what percentage of clients would recommend BSBE to a friend. We've seen a slight uptick compared to last year. 96% thus far have indicated that they would recommend BSBE to a friend compared to 93% from last fiscal year. We're seeing pretty similar figures in terms of individual ratings of services. So low vision, rehabilitation, and adaptive equipment services continue to rate very highly. when we ask clients what their one service is that exceeded the expectations, similar to last year, those were the two that were cited. In terms of counselors, we see a little bit more kind of neutral ratings there, but still overall pretty much on par with what we've seen with last fiscal year. So, for example, we ask a question towards the end of the survey, what is your overall satisfaction with your experience with counselors? When we combine the answer categories of very satisfied and somewhat satisfied, this year we're getting a feedback of 86%, slight downturn from last year, which was 89%, but still overall, you know, very strong percentage there. And overall satisfaction with BESBE is still rated very highly as well. In fact, we see a pretty nice uptick there in terms of overall satisfaction. Thus far, about 86% of clients are rating BESBE as, you know, being very satisfied with their satisfaction. So overall, I would say we're pleased with the, you know, that the numbers look very positive for BESBE, which I find pretty incredible given the economic hit that our state agencies, including BESBE, are taking.
Great. Diana, thank you very much for that update. Just a couple of quick questions for you. I know you had mentioned that you guys are making, in some cases, as many as 8 or 9 phone calls to a client trying to rate. I mean, that's like super aggressive, so I applaud you for that. Can you give us a sense as to when you get to that 8th or 9th try and the person's just not picking up the phone for whatever reason, can you give us a sense as to the percentage of people that you guys would sort of label as unreachable?
Yeah, well, I also just want to mention that we have been leaving messages as well. So we have had some instances where people have called us back. We also do get a percentage of people who ask for what's called a callback. And so in those instances, we've had some people who have asked for a callback, have indicated a time, and then we call at that time, and they don't answer. And so they've made a primary indication that they're interested in participating, but then in a few instances, we have not been able to ultimately reach them. I would say at this point, we are indicating about maybe a 20% unreachable percentage. However, I will say that we are still trying to go through the call list periodically. We will pull out those that we have deemed to be, we thought were unreachable, just to make sure that that is indeed the case, since there were only 77 clients that were on that list. It really makes every single person very important, towards contributing to the report. So we're still, until we ultimately, you know, are in a position where we have to produce the final, the annotated questionnaire, which is kind of the first go around of our results, we're still calling to see if we can maybe, you know, better our contact rate just a little bit.
Gotcha. And at what point are you guys expecting to deliver that sort of initial interim report on how we're doing?
Mid-November.
Mid-November. Okay, great.
Yep.
Great. Thank you for that update. Does anybody have any questions or comments for Diana?
This is John McNichol. Diana, how many people are in this sample?
77.
77, the people you couldn't reach, or total 77?
Total of 77 clients who obtained a employment outcome last year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Any other questions for Diana? Okay, great. Thank you again, Diana. We appreciate that update.
Thank you.
And thanks for how aggressive you guys are being in trying to reach our clients. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. We really thank you.
Sure. So under new business, we do have a VR success story. Brian, do you know if that person is ready yet?
Jonathan, I think that's your individual.
Yep. He should be calling in any minute. He's actually working today, and he was trying to schedule his call around his break. So he should be calling in any minute.
Okay. Do you want to just sit tight until he calls?
If we could do that, that would be great.
Sure. If you guys don't mind just kind of hanging in there for a couple of minutes, that would be great. Just because the next topic would be the election of officers, which will be a little bit lengthier, and I hate to get a quarter or halfway into that discussion and then have to jump back to the success story. So why don't we just hang in a couple of minutes, if you guys don't mind.
Just as a suggestion, since we do have Diana, maybe that's our individual net.
Hello, did somebody just sign on?
Yes, Greg Armstrong.
Hey, Greg.
How you doing?
Your timing couldn't have been any better, Greg. I appreciate you taking the time to call in today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so I'll just give a brief background. The reason I decided to highlight Greg was I think he's a really good case in point of how employment kind of comes along with life changes. Greg was active with the agency years back, and when he had kids, he decided that he would put his family first and decided to take on the responsibilities of childcare during the day. As his kids got older, he decided that a return to work would be a benefit. He and I connected, kind of identified some local areas that we would highlight, trying to work around areas of concern like transportation in his area and kind of focusing on kind of new labor markets and business development in his area. Got him connected with one of our regional CRPs, and they were able to find Greg employment rather quickly. And he's been working there since this last fall, and through the pandemic, to his credit, worked throughout during those kind of unknown areas, and has really been a great success in that area. So I don't know, Greg, do you want to just talk a little bit about what you're doing and how we got there?
Yeah, so like you said, I was working up until 2006 when we had our first daughter, and we kind of realized with my wife having the career, me just going from kind of job to job, working in a warehouse, so that kind of thing, I didn't really have the career, so we decided that instead of, paying for me working to pay for daycare and stuff, that I would stay home and be the stay-at-home father, and so I did that since 2000, from 2006 on. And once our kids got older and able to take care of themselves and in school and stuff, I decided it was, time to go back to work. With my age and being that, times have maybe changed a little bit, people have maybe changed a little bit over the years. And with my age, I could have maybe, gone ahead and applied and done things on my own, but I figured I'll go through the Board of Education Services for Blind and try and help myself out a little bit, make it a little easier. Was able to do that and found Goodwill. Like you said, I've been here since last November. Ended up working through the pandemic when Goodwill did close down. So I was one of the five people picked to stay here and work through that, taking donations and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been good. I mean, I like everybody here. We got a good team here and everything. So it's been a rather easy transition, to as a stay-at-home father going back to work and everything, getting back into it. So,
great, Greg. Thanks a lot for sharing your story. Do you have just the one daughter who was born in 2006?
No, I have two. We have one who was born in 2006, and the other was born in 2008. So that's why I waited until. So she's about 12 years old now. So we wanted to wait till they were, more independent, to where we didn't have to be home all the time and they could take care of themselves and do things for themselves. So last year it was a good time. I had actually also been, once they were older, what ended up happening was my brother-in-law had his kids a little later on past, when we did. So I ended up doing in addition to doing a stay-at-home father, then I was doing a stay-at-home uncle, and they were sort of paying me, to stay home and watch their kids. So then once they went to school, it was a time in my life where I was a little, loved my kids and loved my nieces and stuff, but it was a time where I was a little bored and needed, to do more and get back into work and get back into doing something and feeling, more like part of society and getting stuff done and things like that. So,
Sure, sure. And at Goodwill, are you working, is it part-time or full-time?
It's full-time now. I actually started part-time, but I wanted to get into full-time, and I knew that there wasn't a lot of spots for that at Goodwill, but, you know, I'm the type that comes in, and I work hard, and I get that from my father, you know, and I the type that goes in and works hard and tries to get things done, and so I showed that from the start. And when the pandemic thing came around, and my boss called me up and said, "Look, I can pick five people that can stay and take donations while we're closed," and she wanted me to be part of that team. And you know, I just continued to show that, you know, that I'm a hard worker. I'm not a BS person. I come in to do my job and stuff like that. So it's, you know, like I said, it's been a good fit because we have a good team here. So
sure, sounds like it. And so in terms of like what a day in the life looks like for you at Goodwill, is it primarily working in that donations department where people pull around in the back with their car or truck with...
It's a lot of everything now. It's a lot of everything now because what it is I started out where she needed a person for the mornings for donations, but then, you know, as it went on, I was able to figure out, you know, other parts of the other aspects of the store and how it operates and things like that. And with limitations, like the register was one of my limitations because of my vision. You know, it wasn't something I was comfortable with. It's probably one of the only things I don't do. So I was able to, you know, learn all the other aspects of the store. There's donations, there's pricing, there's, you know, there's unloading the trucks on a certain day of the week, and there's, you know, there's all sorts of other aspects of the store and bailing certain colors of price tickets that we do on a weekly basis and stuff. So it's a little bit of everything right now as I've come along, you know, learning all the different things that there is to do. So
sure. No, that sounds good. Hey, for SRC members, does anybody have any questions for Greg while we have him?
Yes, Greg, this is Deb Reed. I'd just like to commend you on doing the most important work there is, and that's raising your family and helping to raise your nieces. But I'd also like to ask you, do you feel that Goodwill is paying you a fair wage? Are you happy with what they're doing for you?
It's a kind of a strange that you would ask me that, you know, that time to ask me that question. We have a great team here. I love the managers. We all consider it a great team. We're just all a little frustrated right now with everything that we are doing. And as far as fair pay, I would say, you know, it's not a situation for me personally where I need a ton of money because, like I said, my wife has the career. But on the other hand, if I was depending on this job, you know, I might be saying right now that, you know, I need more money. We need a raise for everything that we're doing and the frustration that we're going through at this time. But overall, in general, you know, with what the minimum wage is compared to what it was back when I was working before, I mean, it's come up a lot, you know, since then. So, you know, I can't complain. You know, I would say reasonably it's a fair wage, you know, for what we're doing. There's good and bad days to where I say, you know, it's been a real crappy day, and for the frustrations they're putting us through, you know, we need more money or stuff. But it's, in general, you know, I'm good with it. I'm happy with it on a personal level just because of where I am and where my wife's at. So,
well, that's great. That sounds like a good fit for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any other questions for Greg?
I have a question, Greg. This is Dawn Russell. Do you use any adaptive equipment on your job?
I don't. With the vision that I have, it's I'm legally blind with my vision. I believe my last check was 2400. So what I have trouble with is I have trouble with small print and seeing things at a pretty good distance. So in this job, nothing's really been an issue except for we have a daily task board that they do a printout and put it up on the task board what our tasks are for the day. So the only thing that I really do is I use my phone. That's come in handy a lot with the smartphones and what they're capable of doing. So what I do is I take the camera and I take a picture of the task list. And then I'm able to just blow it up if I need to on my phone and see what the tasks are for me to do that day and stuff like that. So that's as far as that goes, I use my phone. That's about all I need.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Yes.
Anybody else with any questions for Greg? Okay. So, Jonathan, thank you very much for bringing Greg to us this morning and for arranging this. And, Greg, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy work schedule to share your story with us. We appreciate that, and very inspiring, and we thank you for that, and wish you the best of luck with your daughters and with your job at Goodwill.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got it. Have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, moving right along to the next section, which is the election of officers. So a couple of things. I think what we'll do here is first just kind of, if I can kind of set the table for everybody and sort of try to gauge where the level of interest is among SRC members for each of the available four officers, the chair position, the vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. And then we can eventually move towards taking a vote on each opening. So the term for each of these four positions is 1 year, and it would start October 1st in another week or so, and then go through all the way through the end of September 30th of 2021. So you guys will remember, obviously, Alan Gunsberg had been our previous chair. Alan's term ended, and therefore I ran the last two meetings as the chair. So we have a vacancy in the chair position. I'll ask you in a minute in terms of who might be interested in that. In terms of the vice chair position, I had held that prior to the last two meetings. I would be willing to stay on in that capacity unless anybody else is interested in doing that, in which case I will gladly step aside and withdraw my name from consideration and give somebody else a chance to do that. We also have the secretary opening, and as I mentioned earlier, the person who is the secretary also generally heads up the membership committee. And then we have the treasurer, which is Scott Becker right now, and that's our fourth position. So I just want to say this before we get into a dialogue around who's interested and who's not, that Brian and his staff do a very good job of preparing people for the reports that they need to give at the SRC meeting. So when you're debating this morning and asking yourself, gee, should I raise my hand and throw my hat into the ring for consideration for one of these openings, I just want to kind of put everybody at ease and reassure you that there is no expectation that you're going to show up at these meetings and expect to have all this stuff figured out on your own or do all sorts of research on your own or anything of that sort. Brian really does a good job of making sure that if you have to give a report at the SRC meeting each quarter, that you are properly prepared to do that. And in some cases, you're simply reading the report that Brian is handing to you or emailing to you. So it is not a situation where you're being thrown to the wolves or put under the gun, to pull a rabbit out of your hat at these meetings. I just want you to know that you are properly prepared, so that nobody has to, quote, wing it at any of these meetings. So I just want to let everybody know that before, if you haven't served as an officer before and you're considering it, there's nothing to stress about or to be nervous about or to worry about if you are having any of those thoughts at all. So why don't we start with the chair position? Is there anyone on the call that would like to be considered for the chair position for the next year?
Hi, this is Dawn Russell. I'd like to be considered to serve as chair.
All right, great. Thank you, Dawn, for expressing that interest. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else on the call that would like to be considered for the chair position? Anyone else interested in the chair position? No. Okay. So it looks like we would have one candidate for the chair position, which would be Dawn Russell. Do we have anyone on the call that would be interested in serving as the vice chair for the next year? Anyone interested in being considered for vice chair? No. Okay.
then I would throw my hat into the ring for consideration for vice chair if no one else is interested. If you change your mind in the next couple of minutes, feel free to speak up, and we can gladly plug your name in there. How about for secretary?
Hi, this is Lucretia Jones. I'm interested in the secretary office.
Fantastic. Thank you, LaQuinta. We appreciate that. Anyone else on the call that would like to be considered for secretary? No. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody. So, looks like we have one candidate for secretary, which would be LaQuinta Jones. And then for treasurer, we have Scott Becker. Is there anyone, including Scott, that would like to be considered for the treasurer position for the next year? Okay.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. I was just going to say I'm happy to continue in that if need be. So.
Okay. No, thank you very much for that. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to be considered other than Scott for the treasurer position? No. Okay. So it looks like we have one candidate for the treasurer position, which would be Scott Becker. So I think what we can do is entertain a motion that would involve electing the following people to each of these four positions, since I think this will be pretty straightforward, since it looks like we only have one person for being considered for each of the four officers. So for chair, we have Dawn Russell. For vice chair, it would be me, Mike Bartley. For secretary, it would be LaQuinta Jones. And for treasurer, it would be Scott Becker. So I guess at this point, I would entertain a motion. If anyone wants to motion to approve those four individuals for those four positions, would anyone like to make them or would like to make a motion on that?
I would like to make a motion that we take the people that were approved or that wanted to be considered for position. Yes, I'm not sure.
Okay. And who was that that just made that motion?
Gary Allen.
Gary, thank you. And you got that right, Daryl?
I got it. Yes.
Okay. And is there a second to Gary's motion?
This is Deb Reed. I'd like to second that motion.
Okay. Thank you, Deb. So then why don't we go ahead and take a vote then? So the motion is on the table to approve the four individuals, Dawn Russell as chair, Mike Bartley as vice chair, LaQuinta Jones as secretary, and Scott Becker as treasurer. The motion is on the table. So let's go ahead and vote for that. So I would say all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Any discussion? Okay. It looks like the ayes have it. So the motion passes for those four individuals to be our officers for the next 12 months from October 1st, 2020 through September 30th of 2021. So thank you all for that, and thank you for... to those of you guys who volunteered to take on those positions, we appreciate it. So the next item on our agenda was the comprehensive needs assessment update. Diana, are you still on the call?
I am, yep.
You are, okay. Brian, did you want to set the table on this, or do you feel like we've covered it, or?
Well, this is Brian. I guess what I would say is that the SRC had an earlier meeting motion to use Central's expertise to once again hold the comprehensive needs assessment, and they're going to be conducting it, and there are a number of components for the comprehensive needs assessment, and so Diana is going to kind of give you an overview of what they're going to be doing, and part of it does involve a request she has of the SRC membership. So Diana, go right ahead.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. So you may remember, for some of you that were sitting as part of the SRC a few years ago, back in June of 2017, that I came to your meeting at the Besby office to do a focus group with some of the SRC members that were in attendance. So ultimately, my little talk here is going to end with an appeal to see if perhaps some of you would be interested in participating in a similar focus group again in the near future. But in the interim, let me just basically kind of outline what we are doing with this project, which we've already begun our data collection. Looking at publicly available data right now to help understand kind of the landscape of how Besby's clientele might look compared to how it has changed over the past 3 years. Essentially, what we're looking to do is to understand the needs of Besby's VR program, to understand some of the ideas that might have been implemented since our last needs assessment and where those things have ultimately ended, and ultimately to try to make some suggestions of improvements, some targeted suggestions to help the agency move forward. So a few things that we're looking to do here is we are looking to, a few different objectives. Number one, particularly as it relates to the SRC and where we think that your points would be most valuable, is we're looking to understand how SRC members feel about Besby services, including needs that need to be addressed moving forward. We want to try to capture your perspective on how Besby could increase outreach efforts, particularly to the underserved and unserved, which is a strong emphasis of this project. We're trying to help Besby identify some of the strengths and weaknesses of the VR program and to be able to push outreach efforts moving forward. We would like for SRC members to offer some perspective on some new initiatives that you feel may have been undertaken and some that maybe could be expanded upon, some that maybe perhaps didn't work as well, but that maybe we could provide some ideas as to how to push those initiatives forward, such as, for example, establishing relationships or synergies with other agencies, state agencies, or community partners. So I would be curious from your perspective to hear what has been done over the past few years and what are some ideas that might be floating around Besby for possibly future implementation. And then, of course, the elephant in the room is we're interested to understand your perspective on the impact of COVID-19 and what that means for Besby's VR community, and what we think we, how does that impact the VR program, and what targeted suggestions might we be able to make in light of this, massive uncertainty, of course. So ultimately, what we're looking to do is to convene a focus group with SRC members, and I know that your next meeting, am I correct in saying, when is your next meeting, if I may ask?
It looks like it's December 16th.
Okay, yeah, so unfortunately that would be too late for our timeline, so this would be something where I would be interested to know who might be willing to contribute to this study, and what we will do with your data is to provide broad generalizations, so you would never cite that any one individual in this focus group said XYZ. Instead, we're looking for broad thematic ideas that would emerge from the discussion, things that we might be able to help supplement, the why behind some of the quantitative data that we're seeing. So offer a little bit more in-depth, perhaps explanation or perspective as to why certain trends might be emerging, and to help perhaps brainstorm some ideas of what we can do moving forward. So since your next meeting is after the due date of when we are looking to deliver this, I'm hoping that maybe I can get some volunteers who might be willing to do a separate teleconference with me. And I would say within the next month, ideally I would say within the next 3 weeks. I have a very flexible schedule, so we can pick this time on a Wednesday, if that's ideal, or some alternate time. But essentially where I would ask a series of broad questions and that you, the members who participate, could contribute, as you wish, to help, push the conversation along. So,
That breed, I would like to volunteer for that group.
Okay. So So is there perhaps, is there someone who's taking minutes who might be able to help supply contact information, or should I capture it while we're here on the phone?
Why don't I just write down the names of the folks who are interested, and then I can connect with you offline, Diana, and
perfect.
Maybe an email to all the parties, and that way you all have each other's contact emails.
Excellent, yes. So as soon as you know, Brian sends me that, I will message all of you. So you'll get an email from Diana Cohen. It's Cohen, DIT@ccsu.edu, and I'll put a subject line, something, you know, like SRC focus group meeting, something like that. So thank you, Deb, for volunteering. Is there anyone else who might be interested in stepping up and assisting with this research?
This is Dawn Russell. I'm interested in participating.
Thank you, Dawn.
Gary Allen, I'm interested also.
Gary, thank you.
Yes. I'm Lucretia Jones. I'm interested also.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Diana, this is Mike Bartley. I would be willing to as well.
Thank you, Mike.
Is that enough, or are you looking for more?
I'm interested as well.
Oh, sorry, who was that?
I'm sorry, I'm in the car and I apologize. Yes, I'm working. It's Kendra Valenti. I'd be interested, please.
Okay, Kendra, thank you.
Thank you.
Is that a large group? Diana?
It is, yes. You know, we welcome as many as would like to participate, so we don't want to exclude anybody who's interested just based on some, you know, threshold. So if anybody else would like to, you know, join, feel free.
Okay. And is there anybody else on the call this morning that would like to volunteer to participate in this? No. Okay. And this would be everyone at the same time, Diana, on this call?
Yeah.
It would be, yeah. So.
I just want to read the names first. So I have Deb, I have Dawn, Gary, Lucretia, Mike, and Kendra. Did I miss anybody? Okay.
Diana. Well, thank you,
Diana. While I've got you, Diana, did you want to set a date for that focus group today, while we have everyone on the call and while you're here?
We could make that attempt. I guess, in general, is this a optimal time for people?
So let me ask everybody, if we were to say, for instance, so today is the 23rd, if we said, like 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from today, Wednesday, October 7th at 10 o'clock, would that work for everybody?
Can we possibly do it later in the day?
Later? Okay. 1:30.
I couldn't do that.
Over 7?
Okay.
Would that work, guys?
No, not for me. I have a meeting every day at 2:00.
Okay. Diana, what's your preference? Would you prefer to send out a doodle poll or something to members to see what, with a couple of different dates and times, and see what works for as many people as possible? Or?
I think that's probably ideal. I figure we might have a little bit of trouble trying to include everybody, and ultimately, you know, we might not necessarily be able to identify a time that works for all, but what we can aim to do is to identify a time that works for most, hopefully all.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Okay. We can do that.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much, Diana. We appreciate your updates today.
Thank you. I really look forward to, you know, talking with those members who have agreed to do the focus group, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with all of you today.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
So
moving on, guys, to the next agenda item, the VR policy on personal adjustment training that I had referenced earlier in the meeting. We know that the advisory board had a meeting, I'm not sure if it was yesterday or the day before, I think, to take up this topic and made some very, very slight alterations to the new proposed language. So, Brian, would you like to kind of set the table on this?
Sure. The June meeting of the advisory board and the SRC authorized me to proceed with taking a look at the existing policy and incorporating some changes that were recommended by both the SRC and the advisory board and to bring those back to the September meeting. So with those recommendations that were provided to me at the June meeting, I did go forward with proposing a draft update to the personal adjustment policy. And at the meeting last week of the advisory board, they only had a couple of minor recommended changes to the draft. One of them was to take electronic format for the format of the report and change it to accessible format, which certainly makes perfect sense. And then the other one was to break one very long sentence in the same paragraph into two separate sentences, which again, structurally doesn't alter the intent, but makes the paragraph read much smoother. There were some public comments from representatives of the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut at the advisory board meeting, and they did say that they supported the proposed change to the policy, and they indicated that they felt that the changes as proposed were in alignment with the resolution that they had passed at their board meeting. So that was their perspective on it. It did pass unanimously out of the advisory board with the recommendation now to bring it to the State Rehab Council for your consideration and action. Depending on the outcome of what you all do today, if you pass it, it would then go out to a public hearing. The public hearing would have a 30-day comment period, of which the public hearing would occur within that 30-day time frame. And then it would come back to State Rehab Council and the advisory board at their December meetings to deliberate upon after public comments have been received. So that's kind of framing where we're at with it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brian. So at this point, I think this is the time to open up the floor to any comments anyone has or whether people are content or satisfied with the version of the policy that the advisory board had adopted earlier this week. So at this point, I'll open it up to any comments that anyone has, either in support of the document as it now stands with those minor corrections or with anything else for that matter. So go right ahead.
This is Deb Reed from the NFB-FCT. I just wanted to say that I am in support of the new draft and the minor changes that were made after it was presented to the advisory board. I'm happy to see that the personal adjustment, you know, the habits and other things are being considered besides just skills, the acquisition of skills, to consider an extension of services. I'm glad to see that vocational rehabilitation supervisor, along with the provider of services, are the people that will ultimately decide on the extension. So I feel as though it's a very good draft, and it's what we were looking for.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Anyone else have any comments or thoughts, either in support of the document as it is or opposition or concerns, questions, anything at all? No? Okay. So then I guess at this point, Brian, we can entertain a motion to for the SRC to adopt the personal adjustment training policy as it was approved by the advisory board, correct?
To approve it to go to a public comment period.
Okay, thank you for that. So do we have, can someone make a motion to approve the policy as amended by the advisory board and to send it to the public comment period? Would anyone like to make that motion?
Sure, this is Deb again, Deb Reed. I would like to make a motion to send this personal adjustment draft policy for public comment period.
Okay. And that's the version that the advisory board obviously adopted earlier in the week.
Correct.
Great. Thank you, Deb, for that. Anyone like to make a second to Deb's motion?
This is Lucretia Jones. I second that motion.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lucretia. So then the next question is, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, any discussion? Okay, it looks like the ayes have it, and so the SRC adopts the personal adjustment training language as amended by the advisory board and approved by the advisory board earlier this week. Thank you all for that. So moving right along, for the SRC annual report, this is really just sort of a heads up to the group. The SRC annual report comes due December 31st of this year. And this is really just kind of a courtesy heads up to you guys that we may need to reach out to SRC members for input or for particular pieces of information that we